Erev Tov, Rabotai. So, just to wrap up our sugya of the week, or two, we want to finish with the sugya of Basar Shenit'al Min Ha'Ayin. So I'm going to read to you the next saif you bit in Siman Kuf Yud Chet that we didn't get to last time. And this is a big one. Yesh le'achmir shelo le'aniach ha'kederot etzel ha'shfachot kesh'ein Yisrael b'bayit. Which means, now, Maran writes it's preferable to be machmir not to leave pots and pans with a shifcha, with a goya in the house when the Yisrael is not there. And the Rama adds in ve'eno yotzev nichnas when he is not going in and out. Because when he's going in and out, obviously there's no problem even with meat itself. Now, first and foremost, when Maran speaks about kederot, is he talking about full with food or without? He's talking about even without. Why? Because we're afraid that they might treif up the kelim. And therefore, be'emet, it's not a good idea to keep them there with it. Now, once again, the heter of eino nehena min chalipin applies over here also. If there's no reason for them to do it, then fine. But again, there are, and I've heard of this many, many times with housekeepers and stuff like that, where they're in the house for prolonged amounts of time, and sometimes they want to cook for themselves. So they take your own thing. Now again, even if they cook for themselves with your pots and make something with your food on it, meaning they cooked something kosher, you still might have issues of bishul akum. But over here we're concerned about that. Now, that's a different story. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a situation where they might have their own food and they'll use your kelim to cook their own food. So over there you got much bigger issues than just bishul akum. What do you have? Now your pots are treif. Now, says the Rama, what happens if you did? Bidi'avad. Is there any tam lehatir if bidi'avad, now that this can happen so many times, multiple times, you know, a day or a week, person can go out and leave a housekeeper there, a goya there, forget about the meat. Let's assume for a second that there's, you know, the meat is with chotamot and stuff like that, but with the kelim. If there's cameras around the house, then you have no problem. If there's yotzev nichnas, then you have no problem. But assuming for a second that there's no cameras and there's no yotzev nichnas and you're out for prolonged amounts of time, says Maran, you shouldn't be leaving the goy or the goya with your kelim because they can make a treif and you wouldn't know. Says the Rama, what about bidyavad? Yesh le'achmir is obviously in the lechatchila level. What about bidyavad? Says Maran, says the Rama, slicha, v'imira kilkul shenatna devar isur bekidera en le'achila ota. I'm sorry, the Rama doesn't talk about bidyavad. Let's say something happened, which means you caught her actually doing something with the pots, and she cooked something in your pots. So over there, don't feed her the food, even though the food for her is mutar. Don't feed her it. You have to throw it out. Bidavka, to show her what? That you're not okay with what she did, and not to do it again. As a rule of thumb, by the way, in the kosher kitchen, ze dvarim yiduim. A person should instruct his, the help around the house, the hired help, whatever, not to cook. There's no cooking in the house. Everything should be prepared before. Yeah, reheating is okay. Reheating in the microwave, reheating in the oven, that's fine because there's no bishul akum and there's no problems over there. But first of all, if a person has, especially live-ins, but even if it's not, even if it's like a housekeeper that comes and goes, works for a few hours and comes, you should tell them, don't bring your own food into my house. Once they start bringing their own food into the house, it causes kilkulim rabim. It causes a lot of issues. They should, and be'emet kacha, just say, even if it costs a little bit more, you'll feed them breakfast, you'll feed them lunch, you'll feed them dinner, whatever it is. But what? Tell them, don't bring food into the house. Once they start bringing food in the house, even if they have their own segregated kelim and their own microwave, I've still seen kilkulim in that regard also. They should be told, don't bring your own food and don't cook. We'll provide you with everything. Five-star service. Uh-huh. So you don't get the issues of bishul akum. Now, what happens with the avad if a person did leave a housekeeper in the house alone with, forget about the meat for a second, alone with kelim? Are the kelim now arsul? What do you think? Huh? Why not? You gotta have a reason.
What did she do with the kid? What did they do with the kid?
Well, why is Maran saying not to leave them alone with it? For the same reason of basar shenita'al min ha'ayin, we want to say that there might be kelim shenita'al min ha'ayin that they'll use for their own cooking. As ma? B'di'avad what should be the halacha? So, I saw in the Chalkat Binyamin, or Binyamin Kohn, on this halacha, he brings down b'shem kama poskim, that after 24 hours of not using these kelim, there's a safek sfeka to allow usage of the kelim. Number one. First of all, maybe she didn't use it. Maybe she didn't cook in it. Safek number one. Safek number two, even if she did, mideoraita, how long does the ta'am stay in a keli? Mideoraita, only ma'et la'et, only 24 hours. Therefore, after 24 hours, even though, by the way, if you know that a keli is treif, can you wait 24 hours and then use it without kashering? Mapito. The Rabbanan said that even after 24 hours, you still have to kasher. But over here, why is over here a little bit different?
Because
maybe we don't even know that she did anything. There might not be any bli'ot to begin with. So here there's a safek sveka. After 24 hours, it is hetir gamur to use these kelim because of the safek sveka. Now again, it's not a good thing to leave it. You should have a system in place. Everybody should make sure in their houses that they have almost everybody today in a normal household, at least a few times a week, has some sort of goyish help. Cleaning or whatever. You have to make sure these things can cause, and I'll tell you soon something else, but these things can cause massive issues ba'alacha, in kashrut and on Shabbat and stuff like that. You have to deal with it. Basar shenita'al min ha'ayin. Very easily. What do you call those guys? The Nest? Google Nest. What maybe they call it? The camera. Put the camera in the zeh. Shana. You created a mirtaf, and now you're good forever. And you can even, it's Google Nest, they didn't create the camera for kashrut. They created it to have cameras in the house, and you can always check and see. It's a good idea to have cameras in the house anyway. Avan mikol makom, it helps kashrut-wise, or at least yotzev nichnas, or some sort of system where you won't have a situation where basar shenita'al min ha'ayin issues arise. Now, any questions before I continue? Okay, that's good. Now, another major issue that can arise with goyim being allowed to cook in the house. Now, it happens if you have two working parents, like I did growing up. So not only are you reliant on housekeepers for, cleaning and stuff like that, but you're sometimes reliant on them for babysitting and cooking and stuff like that. That's a bishul akum issue, disaster waiting to happen. Ziyadua. If you rely on the lady to cook, it can very easily become like that. Oh, she takes out a pan and makes eggs. It's a bishul akum, right? If in Bet Yisrael, we spoke about Safek Sveka, nahon, Bet Yisrael and the Jew turned on the fire, but how many times, if you ask, how many parents don't even know the basic halacha, if you ask the housekeeper, okay, can you make my son an omelet? How many people know that that's in Isur of Bishul Akum? And not only that, everybody knows, Maran HaShulchan Aruch, in the very last Saif in Siman Kuf Yud Gimam, Saif Yud Aleph, Maran writes, Saif Tetzain, Maran writes, that Bishul Akum doesn't only aser the food, Bishul Akum also asers the kelim. So now what are you going to do? I've had this question many times before. There are a nice amount of families that like to consider themselves keeping kosher, and they're just completely oblivious about the dinim bishul akum. Everybody knows something. Bishul akum is, not everybody knows about it. They think kosher is basar kasher, basar b'chalav, stuff like that they understand. But bishul akum, some people are just completely oblivious to that halacha. When you teach them for the first time, they say, wow, I never knew this, nachon? Now, problem is, after you teach them, and let's say they've had housekeepers for years and years and years and years that have been cooking in their pots. Now let's assume for a second that they're not cooking treif stuff in their pots that they're bringing from the outside, because that people who keep kosher understand that you can't let the housekeeper cook treif in your kelim because that treif's your kelim. That everybody understands. But to cook my own food, to cook kosher food in my kelim, people don't realize that there's an issue of bishul akum over there. Now people are chozer b'tshuva or they learn halacha, so now, what do you have to contend with? Now he's got to kasher all of his kelim, all of his pots, pans, anything that the goy ever touched. You got to kasher everything. Nachon, because forget about nevelot utrefot, but bishul akum, lidaat manan, makes things asur. So what do you say? Did you ever try going on a tvilat kelim adventure, escapade? Yeah, when people, when parents or heads of households realize that, their kelim haven't been dipped, and they have to dip it, and now you bring it up to them, it's like their whole world caves in. Nachon? It's a balagan. Nachon? I know, you did it like a covert operation. Yeah. Operation Deep Dead one. Anyway, have a kid.
Or is this when the makeup sounds like a little dirty? Like
leave
stuff. Oh my God.
Yeah, so they a little bit. No, sometimes the parents flip out, but Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation, like I told you many times before, that Veshiv lev avot al banim velev banim al avotam. This is a generation, in older generations, you know, the kids used to go off the derech and the parents had to chase them to bring them back. Unfortunately, sometimes that still happens, but we have a generation today where it's all the opposite. That what? That everybody was, you know, people didn't know, and then the kids get very stark, and the kids start chasing after the parents. It's a very, very backward generation. But that's the way it's supposed to be before Biyat HaMashiach. It's a good sign. Anyway, so now sometimes you get very nervous. Now, you tell a bit. Okay, so it's one thing to tell them, Mom, Dad, I have to dip all of your kelim. Okay, that's like level one. Level two is like, Mom, Dad, all your kelim are treif, we have to kasher all of your kin. Whoa, that's like, okay, because dipping is just to take it, dip it, bring it back, wash it, you know what I'm saying? But kashering is a whole big balagan, you know, sometimes you need big vats for agala, you need blow torches for libun, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it causes, you know, hefsed gadol. Sometimes what happens if you have kinim that are not kasherable? Let's say you have expensive china that's not kasherable, or things that the goy cooked on, or it's hefsed gadol, or sometimes it rocks the boat shalom bayit wise. You know, usually it's funny because shalom bayit, the term shalom bayit in general is used ben ish leishto in general. But in this generation, shalom bayit is also very much used between, you know, parents and children and other family members. You know, it's like it's a borrowed term, but it happens, and you don't want to rock that shalom bayit boat because then you get into trouble and who knows what. Yeah, especially by the way, it can happen by Ashkenazim also, but by Sfaradim we have it the most because. I'll tell you what happens sometimes by Sfaradim is that when an Ashkenazi is not religious, they're just completely not religious. But by Sfaradim, there's not always, but they're usually a little bit traditional. So when they're a little bit traditional, they think, but we've been keeping everything anyway. You know what I'm saying? They like psych themselves into thinking, but what's wrong? You know, we make Kiddush on Shabbat. What could be wrong? You know what I'm saying? So they're thinking to themselves that this is just mass hysteria and what's the word I'm looking for? Fanaticism, and everyone's just going off the deep end. They don't chop that there's other halachot out there that they may not be aware. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Huh? It's what I'm saying. When you're totally off, at least you know. Okay, I haven't been living the right way. But when you're not totally off, when you're, we'll call it Sephardic traditional, and you've been living a certain way, so you do like basic stuff, but in their mind, this is it, and there can't be more, and now you're just being a fanatic. And they don't chop that, no, you're not being fanatic. These are halachot psukot, and I'm saying this is like aleph bet, that maybe they weren't exposed to whatever. And then sometimes the children, especially the stark out ones, when they come back from Israel, they look like fanatics, and why did I send you to Israel? You know, the whole rewinding the tape, which is never healthy. That's why I'm saying it has to be all these things, I'm talking in general now, it has to be done b'darkei no'am. You have to tell Abba, Ima, wow, look, I'm so happy you sent me to Eretz Yisrael. You know, the whole 9 months out of the year, we learned Kibud Avayim, you know, stuff that they liked, you know what I'm saying? Butter them up to understand, to show them the beauty of the Torah. And Torah is not just, you know, cramping their style. Torah is derecha derecha noam, v'chol nativotei ha-shalom. And then they see and then they become much more receptive and willing to be supportive of these things. But it's got to be a family effort. Nobody ever, you know, Mom, Dad, everything's treif, I got to burn the house down. You know, not lot. You know, not lot. Lo kacha. I've seen people do that too. It's not, you have to be rational. You have to be level-headed. Oh, you think everyone's always going to be as religious as you? Ma pito. You know what I'm saying? Listen carefully. I said one time in Parashat Toledot, which I thought was a powerful line, Yitzchak Avinu had a pretty rough time raising his son Esav. You know that. He had some, you know, major off-the-derech issues. The first off-the-derech teen in Jewish history was Esav. I mean, there was Ishmael also, but let's focus on Esav. And Yitzchak Avinu, can you imagine? Pachad Yitzchak, mamash medakdek, and he was all so, you know, stern about halacha and everything, and he had a son like Esav. Can you imagine the nisayon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him through to deal with a son like Esav, and he's always chasing after him and showing him love? So I told people in the shul, you know, we live in a generation where it's very hard to raise children. You know, no matter who you are, raising children in this generation is very, very difficult. You need a tremendous amount of siyata dishmaya. I told him, never give up on your child. He said, I told people in the shul, you're not Yitzchak Avinu, and your children aren't Esav. Don't take it too hard. The opposite is true also. Your parents also, not yours, but people who find it difficult, sometimes children have it hard at home, your parents aren't Esav. Take it easy. And you're also not Yitzchak Avinu. So take it easy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Lat, you'll get there. You teach them one day, you teach them about Kemacheshan. Another day, you teach them about Bet Yosef. Another day, you know, when they're sleeping, you take the kelim to dip in the mikveh. Another day. But you didn't do it so quietly. The pilot. Anyway. אבל למה לא? רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא מזכה אותה. מזכה אותה. Taking a job off her hands. You scrubbed it also, I hope. You did the dishes afterwards. Yeah. You didn't leave piles and piles.
They were always living in the dry.
Right? Anyway.
As you mean.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem, Ishtabach Shema, Baruch Hashem. Lat. So anyway, over here, I got the shayla a bunch of times. The people are... Now again, if the kinim are treif, sometimes when people are chazer b'tshuva, they used it with... You know, nevelot utrefot, basar bechalav over there. You got a kasher, you got to throw out. There's no, you know, if, ands, or buts about it. Sometimes there's a tshuva nidi almir. What happens if a chiloni family was chozer b'tshuva and they used to use their porcelain, very expensive porcelain, klecheres, for basar and chalav? So what's the halacha? Is it kasher? Well, he said, if said gadol, sometimes these China sets can be very, very expensive. China's not something that's kasher. As Mata Asa said, there's a whole tshuva nidi almir that he says you can be mekel, lehag ilenze, three times after 12 months with a bunch of tzirufim, and because it's shat adachak and hefsed gadol and ba'al tshuva, you know, you also don't, when a ba'al tshuva, when a person's chozer b'tshuva, you don't want to throw the book at him because you don't want to turn him off. You know what I'm saying? He's new to it. Sometimes if you overwhelm him, it's too much to handle. Ve'zel. So over here, I'm not talking about trefot, I'm talking about bishul akum. They were not careful about bishul akum. They had a housekeeper and they didn't know the salacha. Mayasu. So there is a tshuva in Halichot Olam, in Halichot Olam Chelek Zayin, where he speaks about Hilchot Bishul Akum. It doesn't exactly say this, but there is still a safek sveka that exists to allow, to permit kelim in a Jewish household that didn't know about Bishul Akum to be used once again, even without kashrut. And the safek sveka goes as follows. This is going back, if you remember, to Bishul Akum. I'm just talking about this because we spoke about the halachan Shulchan Aruch of not leaving a goy together with your kelim because of situations like this. But in terms of Bishul Akum, listen carefully. Safek number one, if you remember, Bet Yisrael. According to some poskim, you remember Rabbeinu Avraham ben David Ba'al HaTosfot and Tosfot, Masechet Avodah Zarah Taf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph. According to Rabbeinu Avraham ben David, any cooking that's done by a goy in a Jewish home or establishment is not a problem of Bishul Akum. Now, Maran HaShulchan Aruch didn't hold that way, but that's a legitimate opinion in the Rishonim. Now, according to him, even if the Jew didn't turn on the fire, even if the goy turned on the fire and did all of the cooking from beginning to end in the Jew's home, there is no chashash chitun, there's no problem of intermarriage over there because it's being done under Jewish auspices in the Jew's home or establishment. That's safek number one. Safek number two, Maran himself, at the end of Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, brings down a machloket whether or not Bishul Akum trafes up kelim. Maran holds, yeah, it's yesh v'yesh. But there's an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, according to the Ra'a, Rabbeinu Aharon Levi, that Bishul Akum only makes the food asur, but the isur does not continue to the kelim. We don't hold like that. Maran holds like the Rosh and the Ran and Rov HaPoskim, that Bishul Akum trafes up the kelim. But there is an opinion in Rishonim that Bishul Akum does not make kelim asur, does not make gi'ule kelim. Therefore, if you combine these two things, the safek sveka, legitimate safek sveka, maybe the halacha is like the ra'ah, that Bishul Akum doesn't make kelim treif. And even if you want to tell me that the halacha is like Rov HaPoskim, that it does, maybe halacha is like Rabbeinu Avraham ben David, who says that what? Bet Yisrael, there's no Bishul Akum. And therefore, be'emet mi'ikar ad-din, and that if they want to kasher the kelim, according to Maran, 100% they should. But if it's a problem, if said gadol, rocking the boat, shalom bayit, you know, whatever, you have to judge the situation, then over there, be'emet, in safek, that they can rely on the safek sveka, and they don't have to kasher the kelim. Now, you should know, many times when there are issues of kelim that have bishul akum issues, there might be bigger issues in the kelim as well, like non-kosher issues that you have to look into. Over there, you can't suffice with an akasher. If a household, you know, if a family didn't keep kosher and they had, you know, all sorts of meat that wasn't kasher and basar bechalav and stuff like that, you cannot, unfortunately, even with hefsed gadol, you're not allowed to continue to use the kelim without proper hechsher. And there are certain things that can't be mukshad. You know, you have to. Pesach is coming up. Where's dinei hechsher kelim? Siman tafnun aleph and tafnun bet in Shulchan Aruch, which is in Hichot Pesach, because it's done every year for Pesach, but really, it's also in Yoredeah, Siman Kuf Chafalef, aval mikol makom, you have to, the Bet Yosef says that you should consult with Talmidei Chachamim, because the dinim of Haga'alat Kelim and Libun Kelim are very tedious. Sometimes with one detail, the whole halakha can change. So you have to consult with a Rav Posek that's able to guide you, not you, but people who are in this situation, and believe me, it happens. It happens in many families, and Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'are Alenu Ruach Shel Kedusha Min Ma'ala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured a sentiment of Kedusha and Tahora into this generation to be Chozer B'Tshuva. Sometimes it's a little bit inconvenient, but nobody said that being Jew is convenient. You know, being Jewish isn't about convenience. Being Jewish is about doing Ratzon Hashem. That's part of the job description. We signed up for it last week. Where's Na'aseh V'Nishma? This week's parasha. Last week was Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Na'aseh. This week is Na'aseh V'Nishma. At the end of Parashat Mishpatim. So Rabotai, it's big stuff. We signed up and it's hard. We've been speaking a lot about Dine Kashrut. Bezat Hashem, next week maybe we'll explore other things. We'll see, whatever the requests are. I have to go a little bit earlier today, but it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And Bezat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow afternoon when I'll meet you upstairs for Musar. Any questions before we end? Yeah.
Other than Bishul Akum and Nektaref, what else is the Yitnu Tevilah or Hagalah?
Tevilah and Hagalah are two different things. Hagalah is kashering, Tevilah is dipping.
Okay, like what would you have to do each?
Well, Tevilah is done for any kelim that were bought from a goy that are metal or glass that are used in food preparation. That's even if it doesn't need hechsher. Hechsher is if it was used with pitel, with things that are not kosher.
Is there something like
post facto you need tefillah
for?
Yeah, even if you use it, the tefillah never goes away.
There's no other like scenario we have to do
a tefillah other than buying from the book. Not nowadays. Bizman, you know, in the times of Chazal where we makpid them to an avat haorah, yeah, but not now. Yeah.
Thank you. People, their family is not makpid on Hashem, but that there's all the dishes are cooked with charash.
So according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Kaf HaChaim brings it down the halacha, Chadash only makes kelim asur for me'et na'et. After me'et na'et, you can be mekel b'tzeruv shitat habach and other poskim. So after me'et na'et, you don't need after kasher. After 24 hours, it's okay, you can use the kelim. And you can assume, as long as you don't know that Chadash was cooked in that kelim today, you can assume that it's not from this 24 hours and you can eat from the food in that kelim. Yeah, what's going to be?
That's b'di'avad or
b'chatila? Yeah, it's b'di'avad because that's the situation. Yeah. Listen, Laila Tov Rabotai, Adkar.